Hello, this is Rabbi Eric Yaffe. I welcome you to my second podcast in a series which I call Transitions, Turning Points, and Torah. Today, I want to discuss Wendy's Shabbat. Wendy's Shabbat is a wonderful little movie, just 14 minutes long, and directed by Rachel Myers. If you haven't seen it, you must look for it online or at a local film festival. It is about a group of Jews, mostly in their 80s and 90s, who gather every Friday night at sundown at a Wendy's restaurant near Palm Desert, California. The purpose of the gathering is very simple: to celebrate Shabbat and to be together. Members of the group reserve their table in advance. They light the Shabbat candles, and then, since wine is not permitted at Wendy's, say the Kiddush over grape juice. They then recite motzi over the challah that they bring and proceed to have a joyous Shabbat meal. For some, this meal consists of some very unconventional Shabbat fare, such as greasy fries, Wendy's chili, or even bacon burgers. The staff of Wendy's helps out and receives high marks for being kind and gracious. Miss Myers, the director, learned of the group from her grandmother, who joined after the death of her husband. Members of the group talk on camera about how important these gatherings have become to them and about the sense of belonging that they experience. Now, this little movie has become quite a sensation. I hear the Jews around the country are planning their own versions of Wendy's Shabbat, and synagogues are wondering how they might be involved. So let's think for a minute about what is going on here. First, to state the obvious, this film reminds us that Jews, like all Americans, are living longer and are more likely to be healthy and independent well into their ninth decade. Second, it is also a reminder that these same Jews are far less likely to be living near children and family than they once were. In my mother's later years, one of my brothers lived nearby, and he and his family joined her every week for Shabbat dinner. But how likely is it today for our kids to live in the same city where we live? I'm 70 years old, and my wife and I find that most of our friends don't have a single child who lives anywhere near them. The reason, of course, is that our kids spend years moving from place to place, trying to establish themselves in their professions. The result is what one scholar calls, quote, the destruction of place in American life. This means that our lives are increasingly shaped by temporariness, temporary homes, temporary jobs, temporary schools. I think of my son. He went to college in the South, went to Israel for a year of study, went to Washington to work for a year, went to New England for law school, went back to Washington to work as a lawyer for a few years, moved to Philadelphia, where he now lives with his wife, and, no kidding, commutes from there to Miami, where he works for the government. But where has he never lived during this 16-year period? The answer, near enough to our home to join us for Shabbat dinner. And what is unusual about this? Nothing. It is a common story, and no one is to blame. We live in an uncertain world, and people do what they have to do. And it's not only our kids who desert us. Some of our friends have moved away to the South or elsewhere. Other friends follow their children in the hope that the kids will stay put once they get there. And the result is that Shabbat dinners with family and sometimes with friends may be difficult or impossible, even if we are living where we have always lived. This is hard. It is hard if you have a spouse or a partner, and even harder if you don't. Now, some of us compensate for these difficulties by making connections with technology and Facebook. In some ways, email, texting, and Skype make it easier than it ever has been to be in touch with kids and friends, no matter where they live. Still, technology has not changed the simplest rule of human behavior. We are hungry for human contact. We yearn for communities that are grounded, are concrete, tactile. We need, as one expert put it, both the face and the Facebook. Without that, we are left with loneliness. And loneliness consumes people. It kills them eventually. And that's where Wendy's comes in, and Jewish tradition, and Shabbat. For Jews, meals are profoundly important in creating and sustaining community. We all know that. Judaism is about finding a sense of purpose in our lives and about affirming that we cannot make it alone. And Jews don't eat alone. When we eat alone, we focus on ourselves. When we eat alone, we drift away from the Jewish people and lose touch with our common humanity. That is why the Seudah, a Jewish communal meal, is so important in Judaism. A Seudah is an experience of togetherness and solidarity. For many of us with strong Jewish roots, a Seudah, such as the Shabbat meal or the Passover Seder, is our most significant Jewish experience. This is when we invite others to join us in our festive celebrations. This is when we experience eating as a gateway to holiness. But at Wendy's? Can you really do this at Wendy's? With greasy fries? And not only that, the Talmud tells us that while animals devour their food, human beings linger over their food. And yet the average fast food meal is just 11 minutes long. But the movie provides the answer. Why not Wendy's? The people in the movie are eating with their community in a leisurely way, hallowing the meal and endowing it with sanctity. The blessings are as heartfelt as at any other Shabbat table. The prices are modest, which is important to some. And the staff, as I noted, is gracious and caring, respectful of the participants and their traditions. Would it be better if the weekly Shabbat meal were at a synagogue? Maybe. We go to synagogue to touch, to taste, to feel community. It would be wonderful if our synagogues could offer a free or modestly priced Shabbat meal every week to all who want one. No one in our community should welcome Shabbat alone. But while we are making this happen, perhaps the answer for many will be a Wendy Shabbat that will bring us together, will save us from the aloneness that we hate, and will foster friendship, sociability, and a special kind of sacred eating. This is Rabbi Eric Yaffe. Thank you and Shalom.